it's Human Resources. And we're going to start with a public hearing today on Senate Bill 405. And because the House, I understand, is going to go into session at 1:30, we need to get started on the public hearing. And when we get to work session, of course, we won't go in that into that without an actual quorum of both sides. So I would ask Barry Cass, James Taves, and Bill Nickelberry.
Good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon.
I'm Barry Cass, Administrator of the Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division. Senate Bill 405 was introduced pre-session at our request, and I think, as you know, this bill has had hearings in both the House and Senate substantive committees. It was amended in the Senate and passed, and is now before you in slightly changed form, but still with our very strong support. In the past, we have been an agency, as I mentioned in our budget hearings, focused on providing services in institutional settings. That is changing, and with the completion of the long-range plan for developmental disabilities, a Fairview Training Center will be closed. Our interest here is in assuring that services follow people into the community and that for future generations of people with developmental disabilities, there are resources available to them. The enactment of Senate Bill 405 would accomplish several things. First, it would provide the division with the authority needed to administer a community housing program to help families and other caregivers provide homes for people with developmental disabilities. It not only includes physical plant, but also modifications to homes and special kinds of accommodations that are needed to enable families to care for their family members in a home environment. This would permit assistance through the transfer of real property or equipment, as well as by financial support for construction, purchase, or modification of property under administrative rules established for this purpose. It may come as a surprise to some that all these many years as we've been moving people from Fairview into the community and building homes, that that authority has been vested elsewhere. We have had a very cooperative working relationship with Housing and Community Services to enable that to happen. The second thing it would do would be to establish a Developmental Disabilities Community Housing Fund, and within that fund an account in the State Treasury to endow future development, maintenance, and repair of community-based housing to serve both people leaving Fairview as well as others in housing developed before the downsizing of Fairview began. This is an important point because there's a lot of housing out there which, in order to sustain the people who live in it, is going to need repair, maintenance, modifications over time. And it would also permit the necessary renovations to family residences to allow their family members to remain at home. I won't go into a lot of detail about the philosophy behind the bill, except to note that people that we serve typically require lifelong support. In addition to their intellectual impairments, they may also have physical impairments, medical conditions, emotional or behavioral challenges which require special consideration and, at times, architectural or other accommodations. And we provide various levels of support and assistance to these folks throughout their lifespan. Currently, over 90% of our the budget for DD services is dedicated to residential services. More than 4,000 individuals currently receive services in community settings like group homes, foster homes, and the like. Creating a physical environment within the home that is adapted to the special needs of an individual can foster their independence while assuring their safety, prevent injury to them, and prevent injury as well to caregivers, for example, with respect to lifting and that kind of thing, and help contain the cost of services in the future. What we have learned as we've been developing these programs over the past decade or more should be utilized in a variety of community settings and with populations that are yet to come into our service system. The community housing program will build on the experience gained over the last decade and our work in conjunction with Housing and Community Services to develop homes for people with Fairview Training Center will serve us well in the use of this precious resource, which would represent the what remains of the value that was invested in the property at Fairview. With that, I'm going to ask Mr. Taves if he would like to add some things, and then we can talk about the how this bill actually would function, would operate, and what it would mean for the people of the state of Oregon.
Madam Chair, James Taves from the Mental Health Developmental Disability Services Division. I was just going to add a couple comments about changes that have been made in the bill since we talked about the bill during the Ways and Means hearings. At that time, the bill had passed Senator Fisher's Senate Health and Human Services Committee, and some excellent amendments have been added there. And then some additional concerns were raised, which I think we addressed in the House Human Resources Committee. One was something that was raised in this committee that we attached an amendment that would require any sale to be to equal or exceed fair market value. That's been added to the bill now. Representative Close added a definition of developmental disabilities that was not in the original bill. We said we would simply take care of that in rulemaking, and the House felt it needed to be secured in statute so it would narrow the field of potential candidates. So that has been done. Some committee members here also wanted to make sure that, particularly in the rulemaking process, that we would address the state's continuing interest in either property or equipment. And in terms of property, we will be able to use standard trust notes and deeds to secure property interest. On equipment, there is several formats that we researched, and I forgot that file, but we can actually attach equipment that we would loan or give or sell to an individual and have that equipment permanently stay with that person with a disability. So that if they would leave a particular home, for example, and we have invested in a specialized tub or lift, that we could actually take that out and move that with the individual. So it is our intent in the rulemaking to identify all the different ways that we would secure the permanent interest, either in property or equipment, on an ongoing basis for either the individual or the home. I think those were the major issues that were left on the table the last time we were here.
Okay.
Question.
Representative Walton.
Some of this sounds familiar because we talked about some of these points, you recall, in agency performance in connection with the damage bill and with the sale of Fairview. But I was wondering on the $2 million, $2.6 that would go into the fund, that's from the sale of Fairview, I presume. This is in, I'm looking at the fiscal analysis here. And it, oh, gee, am I reading that wrong? Oh, I'm sorry. Mental health has budgeted $2 million. Is that?
Madam Chair, Representative Loken, the 2.6 is already in the mental health division governor's budget. That's money that is budgeted as a payment right now to the Housing and Community Services Department to help maintain the property. That's not from any sale of land. At this point, there's not an expectation that the Fairview property would be sold during the 9901 biennium.
Mm-hmm.
It just establishes a structure for where the money goes when it is sold and how the money gets used.
Additional question,
Representative Loken.
So then, this is to be used right now, regardless of for the developmentally disabled from this fund. Even before Fairview is sold, then it's going in.
Well, between now and tomorrow, when we have the work session on the mental health division budget, the agency and I need to clarify if indeed that money will get moved over to this account. It could be moved over. It may be because of the amendments that restrict the expenditures from the fund. It may be that they don't want to move it over to the fund this biennium because that may restrict them from being able to spend that whole $2.6 million. So we're going to work that out between now and tomorrow when we get to the mental health division work session. The one point on the fiscal that I wanted to make was that if, to the extent that there are adjustments needed in the budget, we'll have those ready for you tomorrow when we go into the work session on this agency. We initially didn't expect that there would be any adjustments in the budget this biennium from that, but there may be those kind of roles.
Mm-hmm.
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 How much do we anticipate when Fairview property is sold?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, I'm going to ask Bill Nickelberry, who's been working closely on the planning for the disposition of the property, to share what he knows about that, to answer that question. I am not an appraiser and don't have an estimate that I think you should rely on, but he may have more information.
Oh, I just want to have a general figure.
Mr. Nickelberry.
Madam Chair, committee members, I'm Bill Nickelberry, and I'm with the Department of Administrative Services. And that's a real difficult question to answer right now because we have not had Fairview appraised and probably won't and shouldn't have it appraised for a while, at least until we work with the city and their kind of a growth management plan that they're involved in right now before we want to have that property appraised. So it's really difficult to come up with a number. And if we wanted to have it appraised right now, it probably, I wouldn't rely on that appraisal because it probably wouldn't be that accurate at this point. We did sell some property back in 1996 to the Salem Kaiser School District. At that time, the highest value for the residential property on that Fairview property was about $18,000 an acre.
Mm-hmm. So how many acres are there?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, there are 274.8 acres.
Mr. Nickelberry, I'm sorry, if it's in this bill, I apologize. When are we supposed to sell this? Is there a deadline for this to be sold?
Madam Chair, I don't think...
Or empty, in order, available for sale, let's put it that way, available
Madam
for sale.
Madam Chair, the budget for the coming biennium projects that we will close services at Fairview by July 1st of the year 2000.
Okay, July 1, 2000.
So operations may cease by then.
Right.
As for the date of sale of the property, that would depend on the planning process.
And you really can't do that in a bill because it won't give you the right kind of value. I understand that. It's not prudent to do that. Between now and July 1st, 2000, are you intending on working with the City of Salem and their growth management or growth planning issues? What is the property? Is it zoned to special use now, or how is it zoned currently? What do you expect might happen?
Madam Chair, yes, we are working very closely with the City of Salem. We actually have a steering committee that we're working with that includes the City of Salem. It includes neighborhood associations, Chamber of Commerce folks, and I believe SEDCOR and a bunch of interested parties from the area to try to plan that property so that it can be incorporated into their management plan and into the master plan for the city, and eventually be brought inside City of Salem's urban service area, which it is not right now, and inside their capital improvement plan, which it is not at this time. But we're working very closely with them to that, and they are being very cooperative in working with us.
Now, the capital improvement plan, does that have to do with governmental buildings that are built, or am I?
Madam Chair, no, it does not. It's part of the city's process. And to answer your other question about the zoning, it's a public facility right now. It's just for public service.
Okay.
Correct.
So you say residential area in the Fairview area you're talking about 18,000 per acre? I mean, you mentioned a figure for the residential area.
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, that was when the property was appraised a number of years ago, several years ago. And it was appraised with residential value, but that was several years ago.
At 18,000 an acre.
That's correct.
Oh, I see. Another question.
Senator Yee.
On page 3, line 9, the fund shall consist of monies reallocated from other areas of the division's budget. So does that mean if you have a program for the DD population, you can move the program money to the housing trust fund? Is that what it means under Sub D?
No, it wasn't.
I'm sure I'm going to have to ask
Bill
to
The person would be for Barry.
I'm sorry. I'd like to ask to hear the question again because I was distracted by looking for the page.
Madam Chair, my question is on page 3, line 9. The fund shall consist of monies reallocated from other areas of the division's budget. So that means you can move program money into the housing trust fund?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, the answer to that is no. The fund, if you look on page 2, line 33, section 4, there's two things being created here. One is a developmental disabilities community housing fund. That's the overall fund.
Mm-hmm.
And within that fund, then, is the account specific to where the proceeds from the sale of a training center like Fairview would go. The housing fund would include, potentially, depending if we moved it into this fund, other housing funds that we've had in our agency. For example, the development of community homes for people leaving Fairview in the last several biennia, we've had a housing fund either in our agency or in the state housing agency to help capitalize and develop, to buy the mortgages down and to provide the seed money for the startup for community housing. And this more global fund anticipates that if we had other housing funds that we could consolidate it in this overall housing fund. But it's restricted, if you'll see, it says it's a developmental disabilities community housing fund. It's not anticipated to be a program fund where any operational dollars for direct services would be located.
Then follow up, Madam Chair. So do we need to make it very clear that money reallocated from other areas of the division's budget for housing may be transfer to the state trust fund?
Senator Fisher?
That's my question. Do we need to make this line very clear that money reallocated from other areas of the division's housing budget can be?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, I believe the bill is pretty specific in terms of that the issues addressed in this bill are housing and equipment exclusively and not any other program operations, and that in all the definitions about that, that's clearly the purpose of the bill, and that's spelled out pretty clearly. And so the role of the fund is to be used for only capital type of things, housing or equipment. At least that's the way I read the bill. It's fairly specific.
Mm-hmm. I have another question, Madam.
Senator Yee.
Now, during last session, I heard the information that when Fairview is closed, the savings can be used to reduce wait lists, increase provider wages, and so forth. That money will come from the operating funds we now use and then use to reduce waiting lists, not from sale of the real estate.
Madam Chair, Senator, that's correct. The long-range plan took the entire budget from Fairview, and as the census at Fairview was declining and those people moved to the community-funded services for them and also funded crisis backup services and waitlist reduction and provider wages. In addition, the legislature appropriated bridging funds for housing and startup development and so forth. So there is no crossover in this bill or in the budget between the operating costs of serving people and the physical plant or construction costs of making homes for them.
Okay, I just want to make it clear. And since I saw this line 9, I want to make sure there is no crossover.
What I'd like to do now is go ahead and move on to the legislative fiscal analyst perspective so that we can hear from her. The House is going to be on the floor at 1:30, and it is our intent to go into it. In fact, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 405, and Sheila, would you give us your analysis?
I've already spilled most of my spiel here on this analysis. the impact, there is no real impact of this legislation on the 9901 budget expected, because it's not expected that the Fairview property would sell in 9901. There may be, as I said, some technical adjustments as to how the existing budgeted expenditures for maintenance of those community homes is handled in the budget, but we would make that adjustment in the work session tomorrow if there is to be an adjustment there. Once the account, assuming the bill passes and the account gets set up, the expenditures as a result of the account and the interest earnings all becomes part of their budget, and you would see that in their budget presentation for the 0103 biennium or whenever that comes into play. So this does not create any unbudgeted expenditures. The revenues and the expenditures would be accounted for in the budget along with everything else in their program area.
Okay. Are there any questions of Sheila? If not.
Chair, I would move Senate Bill 405 to be engrossed to the, let's see, Senate
Bill. Full committee. With a
due pass recommendation.
Senator Fisher has moved Senate Bill 405 be engrossed to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
Yes, Senator Chair.
Yes.
I would just like to thank the department and those that worked on it after it left the Senate for the amendments that they made. They were good amendments, and we were aware that there was some efforts going to be made in that, and they followed through with it, and I'd like to thank them for that effort. Also, this bill was brought about by the fact that these monies for Fairview, if it was sold, would have had to been turned around and dumped right into either the Pountain facility or some other place and spent on capital expenditures there, and would not have been able to be as feasibly and as nicely used as it will be under this bill for the benefit of the wait list and different things like that. So this is a good bill, and a lot of people work hard on it, and it's got some good ideas. Senator Shields has some major help and work home runs on the Senate side. So,
great.
Thank you for everybody working hard like him.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Fisher. Further discussion?
I'd just like to thank Senator Fisher himself, because we had a very open discussion of the possibilities, and I think this is a lot better than when the bill came out. So he really did a good job of it.
Okay. Further discussion? If not, are there any no votes? Hearing and seeing none, Senate Bill 405 has passed. We need a carrier to the full bill. Senator Fisher, would you carry it to the full committee and on the Senate floor?
I'd be glad to.
And on the House side, Representative Logan?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
Okay. Okay, we are adjourned. House members can go to the floor.